Welcome to the deep dive. So, our mission today is pretty focused. We're going to be digging into the 31st chapter of the Quran, Surah Luqman. And the goal really is to pull out these universal principles of hikmah or, true wisdom.
Right, especially as a kind of an antidote to all the info overload we're all dealing with.
So the first thing that's really striking is who the chapter is even named after.
Exactly. Luqman the Wise, Luqman al-Hakim. And he wasn't, a prophet. He wasn't a king.
Right, not from some famous, powerful lineage.
No, not at all. Tradition says he might have been an Abyssinian slave, maybe a shepherd or a carpenter.
And that's a huge statement right there.
It is. It's basically saying that wisdom is this meritocracy of the soul. It's not about your status or your wealth. It's accessible.
And the text just jumps right into the central conflict, this battle for our attention.
Yeah, it draws a really sharp line.
On one side, you have the wise scripture.
Al-Kitab al-Hakim, yep.
And on the other, this thing called idle talk or law al-hadith.
Revelation versus noise. That's the perfect way to put it.
So, with that conflict in mind, how does the Sua even define wisdom?
Well, this is what's so radical about it. True hikmah, it says, is fundamentally just. Gratitude to God.
Gratitude,
Yeah.
not just knowledge or cleverness.
Not primarily. And the thing is, it's not for God's benefit. He's described as ghani, self-sufficient.
So the gratitude is for us.
It's for you. It's a mechanism for your own growth.
Okay, so if wisdom is gratitude, how do you get there? What are the actual steps?
The Sura identifies the successful ones, the Musninin, and gives three defining actions.
Okay.
Establishing prayer, giving zakat, and this is a big one, having certainty, yakin, in the hereafter.
That certainty, that sounds like a psychological anchor.
It is. It's the bedrock for long-term sacrifice.
Yeah.
Without that yakin, short-term temptation always wins. You're trading instant gratification for something eternal.
Which brings us right back to the antithesis of that, the idle talk.
Right. Law al-Hadith.
And it's not just like passive entertainment, is it?
No, it's very active. I mean, think of it as the original attention economy.
Huh.
It's any discourse, gossip, whatever, that actively diverts your heart. Historically, figures would literally buy singing girls or tell distracting stories to pull people away.
And the modern version is just everywhere.
It's the endless scroll. It's an investment in emptiness that the text says leads to spiritual deafness and arrogance.
So in the middle of all this noise, we get to the core of the chapter. Luqman's advice to his son.
And his tone is so important. He starts with Ya Bunaya, oh my little son, it's so gentle.
So tender.
Yeah. And his very first piece of advice is the foundation. Don't commit shirk or polytheism.
And he defines it as a zulm azim, a great injustice.
Exactly. Robbing the creator of his right.
And then right after that comes the command to be grateful to your parents.
Immediately after. And it specifically highlights the mother sacrifice, weakness upon weakness.
But what if your parents are the ones pushing you towards that injustice? That seems like a huge conflict.
It does. And the story gives this incredibly nuanced answer. You have to disobey them on that specific point,
Okay.
but you still have to accompany them with marufan, with kindness and honor in this life.
Wow. So it's about disagreeing without demolishing the relationship?
A blueprint for moral integrity with respect.
Which leads perfectly into this idea of accountability, right? The
Yep.
metaphor of the mustard seed.
Oh, it's one of those powerful images. Luqman tells his son that even if a deed is the weight of a tiny mustard seed,
So basically nothing.
right, tiny, and it's hidden inside a rock or lost somewhere in the cosmos, God will bring it forth.
Because he is Latif, subtle, and Kabir aware.
Yes. And what that does is it installs a kind of an internal moral compass, a permanent self-awareness.
And he finishes with such practical advice, manners.
Don't be arrogant. Don't turn your cheek away from people. Don't walk around puffed up.
And then that final, almost brutal analogy about lowering your
The
voice.
harshest of all voices is the braying of the ass.
It's just, I mean, you can't hear that and not think about how we communicate today, where loudness is so often mistaken for validity.
It's incredibly relevant. But then, after all this practical wisdom from Luqman, the Sura pivots.
Right. It shifts to the absolute limit of our knowledge.
Luqman taught us how to live, but then God reminds us of what we can never know, the five keys of the unseen.
The ultimate unknowns, so the knowledge of the hour.
The exact sending of the rain,
What's in the
what
womb?
a person will earn or do tomorrow.
And the precise place of death.
Exactly. We can achieve hikmah, the wisdom of how to live.
Yeah.
But we have to submit to the Alim, the all-knowing. We never get the ultimate when and where.
So the final thought for you to chew on is this. If you can never know the time or place of your own end, if that's a certainty only held by the divine, how does that internal accountability, that mustard seed of awareness, completely reshape the priorities of your today?